So today we're focusing on Mark chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, this short parable or comparison that the Lord Jesus makes. We'll just read that for a minute to be reminded of it. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." As we've been looking at Mark chapter 4, we've been looking at a series of parables that are about hearing the word of God and listening to the word of God. Actually, if you work through the chapter, over a dozen times, there's words about hearing, the word hear or the word listen. Words like that are used, or take heed. It's the main theme of this section. Listen carefully to the word of God. And the parable of the sower, we looked at that and we saw how that was a picture. The word of God gets sown, and there's different competition in a way for it. Think of the thorns and the thistles of this life, which represented the cares of this life and the riches of this world. That even as you sit in church right now, how easy is it to get distracted thinking about your next mortgage payment or the next vehicle you want to buy, or the cares of this life, or maybe a sickness that you have, that those things can begin to take over the hearing of God's word. Or even on the other hand, the sunshine and the rocky soil was a picture of how the seed can get withered and dried out. It was a picture of trials. Maybe we've had a doctor's appointment and we're waiting for a diagnosis. How easy is it to get distracted? And even for people to fall away from the church entirely, either because of a trial or because of prosperity on the other side. They stop praying. They don't see the need to pray anymore, and they drift away. And so this theme of take heed, listen, watch out, it's easy, isn't it, to get distracted. And that's not even just when it comes to preaching. I can remember when I was more of a hearer of preaching. I think one of the biggest advantages for me in my Christian life is being a preacher, because to be honest, I had trouble focusing on preaching. It was hard, especially the afternoon services when you're working all day in a shop, and it's hard to keep your eyes open, isn't it? It's hard to focus on the Word of God. And here we have this reminder, take heed. It goes in one ear and out the other way too easily. And for some of us, that's even in everyday conversation. I know my kids often have to say things twice to me, and I think that's true of a lot of us. We get distracted. It's hard to listen. And here we have a reminder that there's going to be all these different distractions. There's even the birds in the parable of the sower who come and pluck up the seed, a picture of how Satan can come in and take away the word so quickly. And church can be one of the hardest places to listen. There's spiritual warfare going on. There's distractions. They're seeing others. There's all kinds of different things. And so here we have this series of parables that's so critical, so important for the Christian life. And I think you'll see as we look at this one, it brings us a really excellent challenge. The picture of the measure or the basket. We'll look at that in a moment. We're looking at this under the theme, listening to the word. Listening to the word. First, we're going to look at measured listening, measured listening. Second, multiplied listening. And third, missed hearing. Measured, multiplied, and missed. Well, first, we have this word, take heed, pay attention, focus. It's easy to get distracted. And each parable we've looked at has actually been focusing somewhat on that and the importance of that. Even last week, when we looked at the light and the darkness, that by nature people grope around in the darkness and the light comes in, and the need to have the light on a lampstand. We saw that that was a picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ needed to be elevated and raised up and to shine out broadly. And these all kind of weave together, these pictures. And as we looked at last week, we saw that picture of light and darkness, that the natural man, he gropes around in the darkness, that the default spiritual condition, the normal way of this life and of this world, is for a person to be in darkness, selfish, walking away from God. But then the light comes in. And we saw last week how important and valuable it is to be wise with God's word, to listen to it, to read it for ourselves, to study it. And here that theme continues. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. With the same measure you use. What's that a picture of? The word measure there, it's interesting, it has the root of our word meter. Meter. But what it actually is a picture of is a certain size of basket. So just like we have quart jars and pecks and bushels and all these different size of measures that you can buy things in, what it's saying is, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. So picture this. If you're going to go strawberry picking, you see some people show up for strawberry picking and their whole trunk is full of quart baskets and of cardboard boxes. And you see them come with a couple kids or a few people, and right away you know that person's serious about picking today. I mean, they're going to be making some jam or they're going to be making some preserves. They're not just coming for fun to pick with, you know, three or four quart baskets and they're just going on an outing to pick. No, there's some people that come and when they go picking, they bring all the bushel baskets and the quart baskets, whatever they're going to pick, they bring a lot of containers. And when it says here, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it's actually giving this picture that you show up to church or to hear God's word or hear the disciples especially. They showed up to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could either show up with a little basket or a little quart jar, or they could show up, as it were, with bushel baskets. And Jesus is saying to them here, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you start by taking the parable quite literally, the basic meaning is you show up with a big basket, your big basket will get filled. You show up with a little basket, and that's how much you're going to get. And so, just like some can show up at the strawberry patch, and you can tell they're a lazy picker with small baskets and not much to look for, it's possible to show up to God's word or to read God's word with a little basket. And how are the ways that we do that? Well, one of the ways we can show up with a small basket is roteness, isn't it? Just being rote or routine. Maybe we quickly read through a little bit of God's word in the morning or the evening, and that's our devotions, and we come, as it were, with a tiny basket. We just get through it as quick as we can. We check the box and we move on. And we don't really try to integrate it into our heart or our lives or to think about it. And it's superficial. It's small. It comes and goes. And it's like we have a tiny little pint. It's just gone in a few moments. And the picture is, here, don't be like that. It's come to God's word, come to your scripture readings and your listening of the sermons and to comes to God's word on the Lord's day with a big basket, with a big measure. And that means if we take it quite literally, we could say in a sense with an open mind in the good way, open mind in the good way, wanting to hear from God's word that we've prepared our hearts and our minds and that we're ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what's interesting here is what this is really about. As we've looked at the parables, we've seen that behind them is that basic message of repentance and faith. We've looked at that as kind of the theme verse, Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. The Lord Jesus went about and he preached a very simple message. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's sort of the basic summary of all his gospel messages. The word repent means turn around. That's as if you're walking that way, and repent means turn around, come back this way, come back to God, and then believe the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message here is when you come to God's house, and when you come to God's word, and when they came to the Lord Jesus, that was the message in different complexity, in different angles, in different parts of life, but that would be the basic message they would receive again and again. Repent, believe the gospel, and then we can add to that, live a life of thanksgiving, worship, and serve God. And the picture is with the measure you use, so how open your ears are, how you listen to God's word, it will be measured to you. And this does relate, in a sense, to what some talk about as assurance of salvation, and others maybe talk about the struggle with doubt or unbelief. You know, we just sang from Psalm 81, "Open, says the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing this my covenant word. I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving." In that Psalter, we sang this picture of God encouraging his people to open their mouths, and he will fill it. That in that picture, in the ancient times, he gave them the manna in the wilderness. Well, the picture is, if you come to church hungry, if you come to God's house and your personal devotions and your Bible reading and even your interactions with other Christians and your accountability and your fellowship, if you come hungry, then you'll get a greater measure. And if you leave hungry, the reverse logic is true a lot of times. Now, that can have certainly something to do with the preacher. We have to take some responsibility for that as preachers, absolutely. But this passage is looking at it from the other angle more, your angle. What measure do you bring? What basket do you bring to church? I'm sure all of us struggled at times at churches where we'd say there wasn't much food maybe, or the sermon didn't go very deep, or we didn't find much to learn. But you know, even in situations like that, often the basket you come with, or the measure you come with, or the way you listen to God's word has as much to do with what you go home with as the preacher does. You know, you can sit there, even if a sermon's not that great, and you can still be with the Bible open in front of you, and you can still be meditating on that, and you can still be thinking about it, and thinking about how does this apply, and how can I take this passage into this next week? You can either apply your mind and your heart to it and repent before that passage and confess, Lord God, right now, if you're coming here with a big basket, if you're honest with yourself, you should be doing things like, Lord, I'm sorry for the times I didn't listen to your word. Please help me to come to church and to come to my devotions with a bigger basket. And please help me to remember, Lord, this illustration and this image. And these things can be going through our hearts and our minds as we listen. And that's filling our heart with more and more that, as it were, won't take the parable too far, but you eat out of throughout the rest of the week or throughout your day as you've done reading God's word, and that as you go through life with a bigger basket for God's word, his promises, Psalm 81, I will fill you. And if some of you struggle in your spiritual life, and you struggle with what many talk about as assurance, maybe there's days you wake up and you think, oh, how could I be even a Christian, and I slipped again, and you seem to be like that withering seed on the hard ground, and you feel and you wonder what's going on with me, and am I falling away from God? Some people struggle with those thoughts. Here's one of the answers to that, that you ought to come praying for an open mind and an open heart, and you ought to come to God's word as you open it and trying to fill it. And it even applies to things like memorization. Many of us struggle with memorization, don't we? But that doesn't mean we can't fight to go through life with maybe just a handful of texts that we've memorized. Even if it's just, you know, four or five, one for each finger texts that you memorize for different situations, or to deal with a besetting sin in your life, something that comes up again and again. That these are all ways of going through life with a little bit more enlarged, a little bit bigger basket. That we'd start combing through God's word and thinking, what's a verse you should stick to the dashboard of your car with a sticky note, or to your fridge, or maybe those things don't work for you. Maybe it's something else, some other discipline where you're trying to go through each day and try to go forward with a bigger and a bigger basket. And maybe it's verses of encouragement and strengthening that you need, or a certain psalm that you should memorize, that as you go through the valleys of life that you would go through it now with something more in your basket to feed on. Do you understand this picture? With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. You may be going through a spiritual high and the basket's getting filled up, but you know, times will probably come where it's a little drier, a little bit hard, a little bit difficult. And at that time, you'll need a basket, as it were, to tap into. Well, what are some ways that we can enlarge our basket, whether it is coming to God's house on Sunday or whether it is in our personal devotions. I think you can begin right now by praying for a larger measure, that God would help you to develop and to work on and to work out a way to get more of His Word into your heart and your life. And so begin by prayer, and begin even in that prayer by confessing. I don't think there could be anybody in this room, us all being human and all having our weaknesses, who shouldn't be confessing, Lord, I'm sorry for the times I didn't listen to Your Word or didn't listen well enough. I'm sorry for the times I intentionally even ignored it. Pray. Begin with prayer. Pray right now even, Lord, help me. But then also, preparation of our hearts and our minds. It's good. We have it right built into our church services that we have a silent prayer at the beginning, and that's a long tradition. But it's a good one to pray during that silent prayer. Lord, prepare my heart, prepare my mind. Also, if you're in your devotional routines, to begin, even if it's, you know, sometimes you might only have a minute to read a few verses before work or before a busy day, but to just pray quickly, Lord, help me to carry this with me through the day. Help me that I don't just drop this again. Lord, I'm so weak in my memory and my mind. Help me along the way. Prepare my heart and my mind. But then we can also prepare our families as fathers and mothers, reminding our children to listen to God's Word. And you know, even when it comes to the Lord's Day, there's ways that on Saturday evening, we can start, as it were, weaving the basket together, the bigger measure. Gathering the family around maybe after dinner on Saturday evening and looking at the Bible and talking about it and thinking about it and building up an expectation for the Lord's Day, that we'd be excited to go to His house and that we'd change our routines on the Lord's Day a little bit. And all of these things, you can think of them as weaving or putting together a little bigger basket, that we'd pray on Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, that maybe we take some things out of our day and we rearrange our day so that it's a day of being filled. We read different stuff and we watch different stuff and we use the day. You know, the Puritans used to call it the market day of the soul. So you go to the market throughout the week, or a lot of them did in the old days. You'd go buy your fruit and vegetables or whatever you could get for the day. Well, that on the Lord's Day, we look at it as a market day for the soul. And that's not just at church. It can be what you read on Sunday afternoon, or the conversations you have with your family, or the different routines of maybe going for a walk with the children and talking to them about different things, that we take a day to enlarge our measure. Because to you who hear, more will be given. There's a great hope there, isn't there? More will be given. You know, there's also different ways in the Lord's house you can think of focusing. An older pastor who taught us how to preach back at the seminary used to tell us a story of when he was young, he would go to a certain church, and there was a guy who always drove him crazy because he would preach in that church, and this guy, as soon as he started preaching, he would put his head on his fist and put his head down, and he would look at the floor, and he was convinced he was going to sleep. Well, he went, and he eventually found out years later that he had been preaching to this guy, and that man really had trouble focusing. If he saw things, what he saw visually was taking away from what he was hearing. So every time that man put his fist, his head on his fist, and he looked down at the floor and he put his ear to the side, what he was actually doing, which looked like bad body language to the preacher, was he was trying to focus his whole heart and mind and closing his eyes, and he was really trying to focus on the Word of God. And so there can be different postures that people should adopt. Maybe it's sitting up straight. Maybe it's closing your eyes to listen. Maybe it's just focusing. Maybe it's posture. But there's different ways that we should learn to kick ourselves. Or in the old tradition, some people wonder why in Dutch churches people had candy. I was always taught that the reason you had a strong mint every once in a while was so that you could focus. Because it might be a long sermon and you'd start drifting off a bit. And either you had a strong mint or a really, really salty drippy. And so a lot of people believe that the tradition of, in Dutch Reformed background, people having very, very strong candies was actually just so that they could wake up a little bit. Because after listening back in the day to sermons that were sometimes an hour or an hour and a half long, it helped them out to listen. But whatever works for you to listen, I would encourage you to focus on, whether it's your posture, but most importantly, your heart and your mind and your prayer life, preparing yourself. If you take notes, and that helps, feel free, by all means, to take notes in church or to write down a thing here or there. Or even think of others in the church to talk to that you could. But then next, the picture is multiplied hearing. For whoever has, to him more will be given. You see, the blessing and the promise is, if you come, as it were, with a big basket to God's word, and with an open heart and an open mind and a desire to learn and grow in grace, that there's actually a multiplying. That just like those who are eager farmers, you know, if you plant a big garden, then you usually, in a good year, right, it multiplies. You get more food. You think of how crops multiply exponentially. In these parable of the sower, remember it was 30, 60, 90-fold. The picture is that the bigger measure you come with, to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. The picture is that crops, they grow exponentially. And that when you come to God's house, as it were, with your mouth open or ready to be fed or ready to be filled with God's word, that it builds and it grows. And the Lord begins to work in your heart. And then you even seek out and you find more and more. You get excited and interested about certain topics. And so what happens to the spiritually alive person? You hear a sermon about a certain thing and you think, oh, I'd like to learn a little more about that. You go home and maybe you pick up a commentary or you listen to another sermon on sermon audio, and the basket gets bigger and bigger because the desire is in your heart to grow and to know more and more. To whoever has, to him more will be given. It's a sign of spiritual life and of growth and of excitement about God's word. There's a picture of this almost compounding. Compounding. You know, the parable of the talents. Or actually, I'll start with this first. But there's this picture not only of it compounding in your spiritual life, but there's a picture that to whoever has, him more will be given. It's interesting, when this same image is used in Luke chapter 6, it says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The Lord Jesus used these different parables at different times, and he used them sometimes from different angles. And you know, there's a picture when it comes to God's word. So if you are that person who's spiritually alive and you're going and you're studying a little more and you go home from church and you read a little more about a topic, and then what happens is that that measure, that basket you have, actually begins to feed others, as it were. It begins to overflow. First to your spouse, and then your children in your house. That you begin to want to talk to others, to your neighbors, to those that you work with, that it begins to overflow. So as you read the books and the articles, and as you begin to commune and to pray more and more with the Lord, that begins to overflow. And one of the signs of a strong spiritual life is there's something to share with others. There's a multiplying, there's a growing, there's a heart for the word of God. You could also think of the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, there's those three men that are given different amounts of money, different amounts invested by the master, and one of them goes and works really hard, makes lots of extra money from it, and master comes back, is very well pleased with him. Another one does a little bit of work with it, but then there's the other who buries it in the ground. Well, that's very similar to this picture, because it actually comes with the same warning: whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. There are people who come to God's word, or they grow up in a covenant family, and they grow up in the church, and they've had much of the blessing of God's word, but there's never any growth out of it. There's never any investment. There's never any planting or sowing of seeds. They just kind of bury it underground, live with it, And then they expect at the final judgment to just turn around and give back to God what he gave them. And the picture is that that unprofitable servant was cast into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a picture in that parable of sort of compound interest. And here that's the same or a similar message as this, that as we receive the teaching of God's word, and that's knowledge is part of it, but you know, it's not, don't get this wrong and think this is just about knowledge and teaching other people. There's various gifts in the church. There will be some people here who hear this sermon, and just because of the gifts God's given you, you're not much of one to try to teach it to somebody else. It's just not the way you are. Maybe God's given you a different set of gifts. It overflows in different ways. Different spiritual gifts may overflow into encouragement for another brother or sister. You know, God often applies by his Holy Spirit sermons to completely different things than we would expect. And you hear a sermon about one thing and it overflows in another area, but that's spiritual life. Maybe it's encouragement of others. Maybe it's a phone call to another. Maybe it's a prayer for another family or a time spent maybe calling somebody back who's wandering off. See, God's word or this basket, it should overflow and multiply and be invested in all directions, in all different ways. And to some degree, different people here will have different gifts and different abilities, and they'll invest it more in different directions. Not all are called to be teachers, so to speak. But the picture is that what you give shall be given to you. And that when God's word comes into you, and the Holy Spirit works in you, that becomes a source of spiritual life. It's the food that you eat spiritually. And then that multiplies and that grows in many areas. And the picture is the measure you come with to the Lord, the basket, so to speak, you come with, it will begin to overflow even when it's large and growing, and it's not just buried and small and as little as possible. You know, that's the real danger here, the sobering danger. Missed hearing. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And you think there's a number of pictures in this chapter. There's the hard ground where the seed doesn't penetrate. Well, here there's a picture that there are those that don't really come with a basket at all to God's word. They just tune it out. They ignore it. It's picked up and it's taken away. They reject it. And then even what he has will be taken away from him. That's pointing forward, especially if we take Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the talents, and what he has will be taken away. The exact same words are repeated there. And then Luke 6, verse 38, the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The picture is there's these people who have had no spiritual growth, no spiritual life. Perhaps they've even come under the word of God, but they don't share it with any others, and they just bury it, or they let it be picked away and taken away. They forget about it. They don't focus on it at all. They have this precious deposit given from God, and his warning is it will be taken away from them. Even what he has will be taken away from him. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Every one of you right now, you have the blessing of life, the gift of life. You have every day that you live. You have blessings that are given to you. One day, if you don't listen to the word of God and repent and follow Jesus and believe in him and trust in him and walk with him, even what you have will be taken away from you. Your soul, your life, be cast into the outer darkness with that unprofitable servant. And so the warning in this passage is don't ignore the word. Don't let it be picked away by the birds. Don't put the lamp under the bushel. Don't bury the talents God has given you. It's a precious deposit, a gift from God. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. No, turn now and be saved. Repent. The good news of the gospel and the hope of the gospel is that today is the day of salvation. Now, you may be tempted to try to forget this sermon or whatever sermon you hear on a Sunday as quick as you can and go back to your old ways by maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe if you're struggling with a besetting sin, tempted to go back to it and to scar over or to ignore the conviction of sin. The good news of the gospel is the word is preached week after week. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, to be saved by Him. He's merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and full of kind compassion. And so the call is, come to Him. Come, as it were. Psalm 81, with your mouth open, ready to be fed like a little child. Come with a big basket to Him this week. Come in prayer. He loves to fill His people. He promises, I will fill your every need. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in conclusion, you're responsible for God's word. To you who hear, more will be given. Whoever doesn't have even what he has will be taken away. I want to encourage you. Take every measure you can. Take every means you can to meditate on and to remember God's word and to pray that it grows and it overflows throughout your life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would aid us and you would guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we would be filled by your word. You would give us ears to hear. We know that it's an awesome responsibility to hear your word week after week, to have it, to be able to study it. We know that teachers like myself will receive even the greater judgment because of this, that because we've been blessed with so much abundance, we'll be held responsible for what we hear and what we have. And so we recognize that as your church, we have much. We have been blessed with much, and we confess that far too often we've squandered it. Whether we'd run off to a far place, spend it on riotous living in the past, whether we've ignored it or buried it or scarred our consciences, O Lord, we confess our weakness and our foolishness. We also confess the weakness of our flesh, that we have weak minds. Too often we get distracted. And so we come before you as poor and needy sinners, praying for the grace that is in Jesus Christ, praying that today would indeed be a market day of the soul, a day where we'd be built up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we'd grow in grace, where we would be filled, and that we would also overflow. Oh, we pray for this church here in Powassan, that we would overflow with gifts of love for one another, and that whether it be through our words or our deeds or our actions, the word that we've heard today, that it would overflow into our prayers, our thanksgivings, our love, our care, our concern for one another and our neighbor. We pray that you would guide us in the rest of this Lord's Day. Help us to honor and glorify you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to sing from Psalter number 329. 329 is from a section of Psalm 119. That's a psalm. Psalm 119 would be a good one to read after thinking on this topic because it's the longest psalm in the Bible, but all about treasuring God's word, storing it up. And so here we sing from 329. Thou Lord hast dealt well with thy servant.